This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by author and professor Gary Weissman, who teaches in the English department at the University of Cincinnati. We're here tonight to discuss Gary's fascinating new book on reading titled The Writer in the Well, on Misreading and Rewriting Literature. This book was published this month by Ohio State University Press. Welcome, Gary.
Hi, Kelly. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about The Writer in the Well. What prompted you to write this book?
I was prompted to write the book after teaching the short story, The Man in the Well, by Ira Scher. I think it was now in 2005 I started teaching that story. I was struck by my students' written responses to the story, to their interpretations of it, and in particular to the interpretations I took to be misreadings. And my interest in that developed into an article I wrote on the value of misreading literature. And I quickly realized that that article only began to touch on a whole bunch of issues I was interested in addressing. So that led to the book.
Now, the short story, you initially encountered that on This American Life.
I was listening to it when I was walking to school one day to teach my class Human Values and Literature. And as I was listening to what turned out to be the author reading this short story on This American Life, I was thinking, wow, this would be a great story to teach in this class. I think because it confronts readers with, well, an unethical act or an act of bad behavior without then telling readers what sense they should make of it. And so unlike other works which would address human values with a message or a moral, this simply confronts readers with immoral behavior and leaves it for them to make sense of it.
So tell us about the story. What is this bad behavior in The Man in the Well?
The story involves a group of children who are playing on an abandoned farm lot when they come across a man who's trapped in the bottom of a disused or dry well. And this man tells them, go get a rope, go get a ladder, go tell your parents, help me get out of here. I've been trapped here for days. And the children immediately walk off to get help. And then along the way, decide not to. And then they come back. And the story then concerns what happens over the next couple of days. And this story is told by one of these children who is now an adult, recounting this experience from his or her youth.
And ultimately, they don't help the man.
No. And that's revealed at the very beginning in this line. I think it's important that we decided not to help him. So, of course, that raises the question of why. Knowing that they don't help him sort of frees you up from wondering, will they help him or not? Mm-hmm. How is this going to end? And the question instead becomes, you know, why? Why would they decide such a thing?
And the story is very short. We should say it's only like, what, 4 or 5 pages? It's very condensed. I should say the story is printed in full in your mm-hmm. book, kind of the first thing that we encounter after the introduction. And you say, read this and then write about it. And you say, I think most people won't do this because it's kind mm-hmm. of a lot of work, but it's an interesting activity. And I did do that. And it was fascinating to see how my own reading was echoed or contradicted in the readings of your students, and how, as a reader, I had to hinge my interpretation on key passages of the story. So I wrote my thing, and then I went out to dinner with my husband, and I read him the story out loud. As soon as I finished, I said, well, what questions do you have? And he said, I wonder why the woman is crying, which alludes to like a very particular part of the story. And that was something that I had wondered too. And I had reconciled that question in my interpretation, or tried to. And I said, well, how do you account for that? And he said, I don't know, so I'm not going to worry about it. I was just like, what? But it's like, to me, I loved that story because it was like, readers are willing to go into different lengths to account for different aspects of the text. And I thought this might be a good sort of intro to talking about misreading, how your students encountered this text.
Right. Well, something I write about is how sophisticated interpretations often ignore aspects of the text that would kind of throw a wrench into the smooth, well-crafted interpretation. And so something like, why is the mother crying? It might be something that a reader just ignores in order to arrive at something that brings closure to this story rather than addresses like a loose thread. Misreadings, I find, will often focus and try to make sense of such things, and therefore are really interesting because they address, often in problematic ways, but in important ways, aspects of the text that otherwise get ignored. So to my mind, misreadings are really useful for bringing pressure on the aspects of the text that are confusing and not so easily dealt with.
And you argue in the book that not all misreadings are equal, that there are some readings that are better than others. And I wondered if you wanted to kind of speak to what makes a successful reading.
Well, again, I would say there's something pleasurable about getting a broad range of readings. So in a way, misreadings are successful in a certain way, but also need to sort of be supplemented with readings that are more responsible to the text. I think that part of it is recognizing the genre in which a piece of literature is written. It's a kind of literacy that you recognize that the author is writing within a genre which has certain expectations and that you recognize that. And so, for instance, well, some genres will be less focused on plot, less driven by plot, and things like themes and motifs will be more important, or the interiority or inner lives of characters are more important. Readers who read The Man in the Well trying to figure out what's going to happen on the level of plot will often not pay attention to the importance of trying to figure out what's going on with the psychology of characters. Also, I speak a bit about overreading and underreading, which are terms from a narrative theorist, H. Porter Abbott. Underreading involves ignoring parts of the text or of the story, and overreading is projecting things onto the text that aren't there. We both underread and overread everything all the time because even with a short story as short as The Man in the Well, there's more there than we can address. At the same time, reading involves staging what's going on in your head through imagination. So you are like breathing life into something that's just words on a page. That requires overreading. You're adding a whole kind of realization of a story world. So the projection becomes a problem when you are hanging your interpretation on things that you've added to the text that are not really there.
What's the value of really understanding how to read well in our current moment?
Well, I think a value of reading well involves recognizing that reading is an act that is collaborative. Reading something is part of a community. The sense you make of it is part of an ongoing conversation that you can revisit and rethink what you read, drawing on what other people have to say about it. Also, it's important, I think, to read well, to have an understanding of writing conventions that are shaping the writing as a form of communication, and to always understand that when someone writes, they're adopting a kind of voice or persona in their writing, whether they're writing fiction or nonfiction, and that kind of narrative voice needs to be part of what you're assessing along with the message.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Gary. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
I've been talking with Gary Weissman, author of The Writer in the Well. More information, including a link to This American Life, which features the short story, can be found at our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.